6:03, call to order the first meeting of the Horstmann Legacy Subcommittee. Quick roll call, Ruthanne O'Sullivan?
Here.
KP Sampali?
I'm here.
Dave Callahan here as well, we also have, yes. And meetings are recorded by Franklin Matters. We have Steve Sherlock here, Lucas Jagir, and Colin as well, Director of Operations, and just about every other title we can throw at him. So want to thank you all very much for kind of being here. I know had some scheduling issues, but I thought it was just so important to be able to at least hit this once before the new term kind of takes over. Really just so we can kind of develop a blueprint of what that Horstmann Legacy Subcommittee is. When that the new term for the school committee to kind of take over, we've lived and breathed this for quite some time, so we can kind of set up like those goals and guardrails, so that a way we just help to lay the foundation for the next subcommittee, whomever that's going to be, along with the full school committee as well. And through that, had shared with everybody a document. We kind of have like the meeting objectives, but we really lay out like the context of the Horstmann like Legacy Subcommittee, whereas really from like the late August meeting that we had, where the school committee voted both to create this subcommittee, but also to establish the Horstmann campus on school properties, kind of covering Panther Way and Oak Street. And then we'll kind of go through the next couple of the ones like step by step, but really ultimately I kind of like put together like a statement, goals, guardrails, and also ideas about who we want to have in this committee as we kind of move forward. And I put together this kind of this draft blueprint, totally up for discussion, but just wanted to, I figured it's a lot easier to work from something than to start afresh. So that's kind of where we're at. Nothing's set in stone. I'll start to kind of walk through what we like the blueprint that we kind of have right here. But first, any kind of Lucas or Colin or anybody from the committee, any thoughts or interjections?
I would just say I'm someone who appreciates being able to react to something rather than start from just scratch. And I appreciate your openness to kind of walk through it. And then I'm sure there'll be some feedback. If you look at the notes, Colin and I are going to take notes in the bullets so that everybody's comments are captured, and then you will all have a copy of it, and Dave, you'll have a copy as well as we move forward to whoever is going to be involved in this moving forward. And I'm reading this now, I haven't really read all of it, but I assume we're going to walk through this piece by piece. Is that the intention?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't have any other comments, just that we'll be prepared to take notes and we can go from there.
Perfect.
Anybody else?
Yeah, this is helpful if you read it because I'm driving.
Okay.
Yes, I'll absolutely. I'll read everything out loud just so that way too we kind of get it captured from Franklin Matters as well. So, and Ruthanne, just let me know if you can't hear me at all.
Oh no, this is good. Thanks.
Perfect. Awesome. So, just the mission statement, and again, just a draft. Throw out anything that you think we want to change, but just stated. Got born in Franklin and celebrated as a father of public education. Horstmann devoted his life to championing education reform. The Horstmann Legacy Subcommittee is dedicated to educating the community about his enduring contributions and advocating for his vision of a free, high-quality public education accessible to every child.
Say something?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, it looks perfect. I just want to have one question, he was actively involved, Horstmann actively involved in a commission called End of Slavery in the state of Massachusetts. Do you think we should add somewhere with that, or we don't want to worry about that?
Yeah, let's see.
I know it's like exclusively for schools, but when we mentioned, he did take active part as per our history says,
All right, let's see.
Up to you. I'm just giving you my idea. That's all.
If I may, I recently read a biography solutions for them in that day. And then eventually went to education. And yes, when he actually went to the U.S., replacing, I think it was Quincy Adams who had passed. So he was in the U.S. House or Senate, one of those roles. That's when he definitely got involved, much more so into the anti-slavery abolitionist movement, etc. His career ended as president of a college that ultimately failed. So he certainly was education, but he had a broader reach than that. So I think it would be appropriate at a minimum to say, we're going to focus on this. And he do recognize that he had other things that he did, but we want to recognize him for this.
For this. Okay.
Okay. I'm good. Got it. Thank you.
So you could probably look to just include it as a description, and then your mission, the mission of this commission is around this being an educational complex.
Correct.
But I just wrote a note, a broader recognition of his achievements, mm-hmm. And maybe that has to do with, maybe there's a way to work in something like, well, he is celebrated, that's a fact,
yep.
Father of public mm-hmm. education. He devoted his, maybe it's that sentence around devoting his life to championing education reform and ...
right.
Some other components.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a way you could kind of work in KP and Steve's feedback mm-hmm. And then do it in a way that kind of gives it more of a broader context.
He did start his education with Franklin's books.
Right.
So that clearly was in his background as well. So that's clearly education related.
Mm-hmm.
So drawing in the other historical resources that like the Historical Museum and others have into this, which I think is kind of the overall subcommittee scope, but I don't want to presume as much going forward.
You want to keep it focused too on the education side.
And the education pieces.
But right, with the acknowledgement that we definitely want to, because you'll also see like kind of later on, I think there's many opportunities. It doesn't have to be just a lift of the schools to kind of celebrate Horace Mann. So definitely we can still kind of acknowledge him in everything that he did, not specifically just the educational reform.
You could add, I'm not going to change it.
No.
It could be education and not social reform, but like...
I sort of made it like a few notes about like, because obviously I think it's like, it's considering students, considering non-education stakeholders anymore who are just caring a lot about the legacy. So I had written like, you know, it's not about looking backward. It's about giving our students like a shared identity, a proud narrative rooted in where public education began and where it's going. So it was like, I got some sort of like, I was just researching like Horace Mann and quotes and things, and it was like I just wrote like little things like it's more than a memorial, it's a message, it's a call to service, like honor where it started and recommit to what it stands for. So I think like somehow working in that we're not just here to honor his past and it's also about showing these students what they can do and really just using it as like an identity for the town.
So then what about if we did, Lucas, you kind of mentioned that championing like education and social reform. Like KP, is that also, at least so that way it kind of keeps that door open so it's not exclusively about the educational reform? Obviously that's what we're going to kind of like start with, but we still are able to kind of have that so we can have that broader recognition of his other achievements.
Right, like the great equalizer, that's like a term that's used a lot with Horace Mann. Well, education.
Yeah, I think adding one like, you know, the one what we are writing here is that he's going to remember for the rest of the generations, you know. So when they look at all this, you know, they will see, oh, they are missing this part, you know.
Okay.
That's why we don't want to hear that type of stuff. That's the reason. And we don't have 10 legends out of Frank. We are very, you know, just saying.
So it's like, so reinforcing the birthplace of public education, celebrating the values of equity, access, opportunity, committed to local history and signaling to the community an ongoing commitment to strong public schools. And I can send these notes along, but
okay.
I know what you guys are saying. Like, it's more like, and I think that's part of like the task of the committee is to like, how do we engage the entire community in ways that will inspire each subset? You know, like there's certain things we can do on the campus that'll be inspiring more for students. There's some that'll be more inspiring for the, you know, seniors who care about the historical, so we can kind of try to capture. And then for the broader, you know, Commonwealth or United States, like who are we on the map? So there's like a few different things. And my brain just goes to like branding. So I'm not really just thinking like who are we talking to? But it seems like that's what we're looking for, is like we're speaking to more than just
we jump into like the development and goals. We'll talk about the branding too. But so then, Lucas, thank you very much for adding that. So KP, we kind of have just in that updated draft, championing education, but to include those other areas of reform as well in that mission statement, because it's really kind of like the mission statement that I drafted up. Broke up into like two lines. The first is more that like expository, like fluff piece. But then the second one is specific. This is really what we're doing, dedicating to ensuring that the community buzz has enduring contributions. So we could definitely, I can kind of put in some extra pieces more specifically about what he did, including like the abolitionist. So I'll put that together.
Social justice reform could even be a way, but whatever you, you know.
Yep. Okay.
All right. So there's notes in there for you to look at. Ruth Ann, you'll send those to Dave.
Yeah, I'll send some stuff over. And
KP,
and
you can
what
too.
What I kind of got into, I think, is probably more of like what the committee will do. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Because then, Ruth Ann, to your point, we kind of talked like the next in the draft. Talks about like the development of goals, kind of broken up into three pieces, like the Horace Mann campus, but then like educating the community, and also then advocating for what Horace Mann was fighting for himself. And so that first one with the Horace Mann campus, starting with establishing clear and consistent branding for the campus, including, you know, there's like signage and banners that reflect Horace Mann's legacy. And so that would kind of include developing that visual identity. You know, what are the fonts, the specific colors, and the logos that we're going to use that would resonate with the community and honor Horace Mann's contributions?
Yeah. Yep.
And the other idea that I thought was, I don't know if we need to, how we kind of coordinate either with like the town's like GIS department. How do we basically make it so that when we pull up on a map, you can see that plot of land is the, you know, Horace Mann campus on Google Maps?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think actually kind of like a quick sidebar, but even broader speaking, you might need to do that with the current school naming that we have as well. I tried to get my dad over to Lincoln Street, and he was just putting in his GPS, and all of a sudden I was like, ooh, I was like, put in Keller, and then he was able to find
Keller. I reached out to Google, and I submitted a ticket for it to be for every single school to be corrected.
Yep.
I don't know how long that takes. I mean, they do the whole world.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I didn't get a ticket number.
Okay.
But I don't know how to, because I noticed it. I was trying to point Pond Street. It's 551 Pond.
Yeah.
But it looks like a random street address if I just put 551 Pond, and I don't know how to fix that either. Short of, I don't know anybody at Google, but.
There are some Google experts in the community.
Okay. Who is?
Wasn't it KP? You said you had a connection with somebody who works at Google, right?
That's correct.
Oh, KP.
Yes.
You might be the guy.
Yeah, and our IT guy, too, probably, yeah. They would know. It's kind of, I've done it for like businesses, but I think, I don't know how easy it is with schools.
KP, could you ask how we could get our schools to be labeled correctly with the new names in Google Maps?
Sure, I will check them out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
Do you think in the down the line, we are going to establish a statue for a Horace Mann?
You know, I think that it would probably require like outside fundraising. But I mean, I don't think it's outside the scope of possibility. I know, I think Alan Earls and others had worked at it to do the one across the street from the Historical Museum.
Yeah, there were grant money involved, that as I recall.
Yeah, and I know that the town council in that initial letter way back when, they had also said that they'd be more than happy to kind of advocate with our state legislative leaders as well. So I do think that that's, because that's one of the elements that, kind of, you know, what else can we do? You know, are there plaques? Are there monuments like statues?
Yeah.
I think it's something that this committee can definitely kind of explore and see how can we get some funding outside of from the town operating budget. Like, it's not going to come through capital.
Okay. Yeah, Dave, for that category of branding, you might want to just call it like physical presence or something, because I think more like, aside from the, you know, if we do like the banners and like the fonts and the colors and things, I think there's going to be opportunity, just given the even the potential for some grants, just because of like who we are and what we're trying to do. I think that there will probably be some funding that we can acquire that we wouldn't expect, maybe. So, because I thought of like, you know, doing like a Horace Mann legacy walk or, you know, things like within the campus that highlight some of the things that we want to kind of educate the community and the students about.
Absolutely. And even, I mean, this will be down the road, but I even wondered about like working with like Miss Callie at the library. I know they do, like the library has those like walks around like Delcart with like the storybook walks, and other ways in which they can kind of incorporate that with Horace Mann as well. Okay, but so just to kind of clean that up and just turn it into like a physical presence and include.
Yeah, a little bit of planning. It's a little more than just branding. It's a bit of like urban planning almost.
Okay.
Well, not urban, but campus.
And then what
and
else in
like
terms
of educational components? You know, like maybe we have like an annual Victory for Humanity or something, Day of Service, or you know, there's other elements that could be like physical and educational and community elements.
And then in terms of like with the Horace Mann campus itself, are there other things that we should kind of at least like immediately be looking at? Like we're going to have, you know, we need to develop what does that physical presence kind of look like? How is that updated electronically, just so everybody can kind of see that? And with our own local maps, but are there things that we should thinking about?
We've had a long-term plan to do boulevard banners throughout all the schools.
Yep.
So every one of the lights having a small banner that has like Lincoln Street, the L, W for Washington, so you know you're on a campus like Dean College or the Cultural District.
Right.
Nipmuc Regional High, if you've been there, they have that. They have like their Warriors logo. It's a Nipmuc, and then it has the symbol of the mascot. So there's ways you can do it. What I thought was, I want us to be conscious of how do these things complement each other so they don't compete with each other, but there's a way to actually probably make this really cool.
Yeah.
I could see having like the campus logo, but maybe there's also the Franklin High has a chance to put there. So I don't know how that would look.
Componentized.
Yeah, like a cool archway or something like, you know.
Yeah. And you know you're on campus.
Yeah.
And if you know you're on the campus, that's the consistent across ECDC, Franklin Middle, and high school. But when you enter the high school area, you should know you're on the high school property too. You know?
Okay.
So I don't know like what that would look like. Is it a flag coming off of each pole, you know?
Visual design or implementation.
Right.
Yes.
So like somehow looking at that, I don't get too far ahead, but the idea being like maybe it's like the light pole has a left and right, and there's a small little square banner that's like always has the Horace Mann on it. But those other side always get interchanged for other schools and other spots. That was a thought.
Oh,
yeah.
That's very cool.
Could be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really consistent. That is good.
Yeah. And now that we have the consistent L and the W and the F, I love that. I think that's a thing we can work with, you know?
It's part of, I believe,
and I think there can be an element of fundraising in this, especially like outside of the school committee. If like we have people in the community who are into this, you know, there's, there's like, we could maybe do like a little brick walkway where people get their name engraved. Like there's ideas that are floating in my head that down the line could really bring it to the next level. It's always about the money.
Yeah, like the veterans walkway is, you know, you put a name of someone who served. Maybe there's a retired educator walkway or something.
Sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean, this isn't the purpose of this meeting. I think you want to generate those ideas with the group, but
correct.
There's no shortage of ideas. It's actually going to be harder. It's probably going to be about containing them.
Yeah.
Scoping them.
Right.
Yes.
Scoping them.
The other piece, too, is I believe it's the master plan. Certainly it had been on the council agenda. Now that they've got the town branding, they intend to do some wayfinding signs in terms of navigating the town. So the efforts of your locations within the school environments needs to play within that as well, because they're going to need to send to the school.
Consistent, yeah.
Right, and be somewhat consistent with that layer effect. Yeah.
Okay. So we might be, part of this might be making sure that we're consistent, so wayfinding for people is consistent. So we might not have like complete design autonomy in the sense of the Horace Mann thing might need to match the library and other public spaces where people navigate, right?
Yep.
And that's part of having continuity in town.
That would be smart, too.
Yeah,
it's like, that's a good idea, you know? And then you still can keep your essence with your high school logo and your...
Mm-hmm.
So just thoughts.
Okay.
All right. Maybe a little Horace Mann 5K to raise a couple bucks.
I was half-assed on making this about the kids, and I came up with some logos and or some like taglines. I was just playing with like ChatGPT, and there was an awesome one that came up that said, "Where public education began, where future leaders begin." I was like, "Oh, that's so good." So this is exciting.
Yeah.
This is a fun one.
Yeah.
And then, so the next kind of like part, and Ruth Ann, you were kind of actually jumping on this too with. In terms of like getting out there and like educating and engaging the rest of the community, but kind of talking about like the education piece. You know, how do we continue to kind of educate the rest of the community on what Horace Mann was doing? And so what I kind of currently have right now, drafted up, and again, keep kind of kicking the tires on everything, but first just to kind of collaborate with the Franklin Historical Commission to develop, it says, educational programming or materials about Horace Mann's life and vision. And I know they're already, I've had some discussions on them. They're all in. They've already said if they can kind of help with like logos, quotes, or just information, they're happy to do so. But I think we can kind of continue to kind of partner with those guys to see what else, you know, they might be able to do. Like I know they always like, they'll throw a Horace Mann birthday party. And, you know, are there ways in which we can kind of help to, you know, increase their attendance, but basically kind of bring them on board? And like with that, I think we typically will have like a professional development day in like a half day for the kids in the first week of May, which happens to kind of coincide with Horace Mann's birthday of May 4th. And so other opportunities as we build out the calendar for like the future years, if we already know that we're going to plan a PD between May 1 and May 7, can we try to nudge it onto May 4? So that way we can, one, kind of like it's a, I've heard a lot of folks that have, some have tried to have whole days off to celebrate his birthday, which I think is a big lift. But if we're already going to have this half day, can we kind of coincide with his birthday? And then it gives, if teachers want to do an opportunity, I know of a few that have said they would do something in the, like in that first half of the day with kids. But then can we do work with other local organizations to kind of mark Horace Mann's birthday? So that way it's kind of, it's there, it's on the calendar, and then from 12 o'clock on, the kids are released out into the world. And is that something where, you know, maybe like Altitude, the trampoline park, you know, has a deal with the PCC. And to kind of celebrate Horace Mann's birthday, you know, 10% of all proceeds that day go back to the PCCs. Or if we do develop a like a fundraising engine, is this something that we try to do? And, you know, 10% of those proceeds kind of come on back here. And, you know, I buy the balloons, and then kids get to go celebrate Horace Mann's birthday by jumping around like crazy people.
And then maybe for the older kids, it's a day of service, like Ruth Ann mentioned. So if you want to do something with your half day, go give back to your community, and here are ways you can do that.
Absolutely.
You know, like, or teams, or clubs, or bands, or theater companies, or whatever. I don't know. I'm just making it up, but you could do it that way, too.
Yeah, and just, and I think, you know, like, the, as we're, if we're thoughtful about this, trip more, you know, other ideas will kind of change to spring. But yeah, it's just, it makes it so that way, and again, it doesn't have to be just a lift all on the schools or the school committee. But yeah, where we can kind of say, you know, so that way when kids are going and giving back in the community, yeah, they're acknowledging, they're going and giving back in service of Horace Mann, or, you know, in name of Horace Mann, just to kind of keep that name and the spirit alive in the community as well.
Yeah, I like every, I like all, you know, the 250 commission is running right now, getting ready to wrap up, and when is that, 2028?
2028, yes.
So, I mean, that'd be after the next term ends, right? I was like, that this might coincide with, like, the launching and the sort of ribbon cutting of this could coincide. Not a bit, depending on how broad it gets.
Yeah, and how, what kind of legs this gets. Timeline.
Yeah, like, we end up, if we end up with, like, a, you know, a little, you know, reflection pool garden, or like a brick walkway, or a, you know, archway, like that, that stuff's going to be years in the making to get it funded and stuff. Like, it can be steps.
That's a good point. Like, you might not see a statue for 2 years in some order.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what I mean is, like, that's, like, further out anyway. Like, that's an example of, like, not all this gets done overnight.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think this is going to be the epitome of, like, we're planting that tree and you know, never sitting in the shade of that tree. And but at least if we're cognizant of that, you're absolutely right. KP, any other thoughts about just that, that education piece?
Like, you know, number one, while promoting this whole thing across Franklin, we can go after alumni people, like there's so many alumni, you know, especially younger generation. We can go for fundraising as well. That's one thing. And second thing is, we can develop a bust size instead of full statue. We can develop a bust size, which is very less money. I think probably $5,000. You know, but that, but if everything goes fine, you know, we can find the donors like that. You know, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think people will donate once they hear about this.
Excuse me. And we can do several things with this kind of ideas, you know. Once we speak with a couple of younger generation, they will tell us, you know, what can we develop in terms of raising the funds. Just among us, you know, it's not, we don't have to go elsewhere, just among the alumni people, you know.
No, I think it's perfect.
Okay.
Because we do have, it was on our, the Franklin High School website, there's like an alumni page.
There is.
But how, do we know how, like, robust that is, like, that network? Is it like a call? Like, I'm assuming it's like a call.
I think it has, like, request your records. I think it might have some, I'm going to look right now. It might have some connections to, like,
okay. More kind of transactional and less networky. But doesn't mean it doesn't,
right.
We can't kind of.
I mean, for some reason, you know, I feel, we are lacking that the alumni support, especially in terms of younger generation. Because, you know, where the place where I live, in front of my eyes, there are top, you know, there are 10 people right now, you know, alumni people, who is working very good. Exclusively alumni people, Franklin, in front of my own eyes, you know, like that, you know, I mean, so much opportunity out there if we go after alumni.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right.
Advent of the 50th anniversary coinciding with each of the high school graduations, you can leverage that piece. But that's only 1 year of many. Perhaps at some point expand it to try and do like the 20th, 30th, 20th, and get some of the more recent arenas in there. It's going to be a challenge, but somebody would be calibrating, but you leveraging that piece to see if there are other classes that are at least, because I know at least from my daughters, they got together, you know, Thanksgiving after they were in college, they would have kind of the homecoming type thing, et cetera. But then it peters away for some classes and not for others. You're going to find the classes that are still active and then start bringing them in, and then everybody wants to be there, but ultimately when it happens.
So we should open up a bar called Horace's Place and have it open on the Wednesdays before Thanksgiving.
Chair so declares.
I might be onto something, guys. I'm just saying. If there was a bar downtown called Horace Mann's,
that'll solve some financial issues that we're having.
Just saying. Okay.
Could be a revenue generator for the schools.
Exactly.
Colin can open it. Colin, can you open it?
You run the kitchen, I'll run the front.
Yeah.
Got it.
Kidding me, that'd be easy for Colin. He can do that in a minute. He's running 9 kitchens right now.
To do one load.
Plus busing.
You got a couple of fryers.
He'll have a Dean shuttle. You're going. Yeah. All right.
And the last goal that I got right now, but we keep adding on, but it's like the advocacy piece. And so really got like 3 bullets right now. One, to recognize Horace Mann's advocacy for free, accessible public education as a guiding principle for current efforts. Exploring strategies for the community to advocate for sustainable and equitable funding, including more robust budget planning and stabilization measures to ensure consistent educational quality. And encourage community engagement and partnership that supports advocacy growth. Goals and emphasizes the importance of equitable access and resources for all students. And so really the overall idea is what we kind of talked about, some of those like full school committee meetings when we had these discussions, which was basically, we can slap his name on something, but if it's meaningless unless we're actually having a proper budget that supports our kids. You know, kind of the fact that we had, it killed me that we were, you know, it was like 75% of other districts that are investing more in their students per pupil than Franklin, and yet we were, talking about honoring Horace Mann. So it's like, you know, we can honor him in name and with a plaque and with a statue, whatever else we want to do, but if we're not honoring him by providing a good budget for our school, then what are we doing? Is that the gist of it?
Yep, couldn't agree more.
Okay. Perfect. All right. So then the next kind of grouping, I just put together some of the guardrails. So basically, you know, we kind of know what next term, what this subcommittee should be doing, but what should they not be doing as well? And so we kind of have like 3 guardrails. The first one, the subcommittee is not authorized to rename any school buildings, nor dictate the culture or identity of any individual school. Number 2, all financial expenditures relating to the subcommittee's work must receive prior approval from both the subcommittee and the full Franklin School Committee before any funds are committed or spent. And lastly, because we'll talk about the committee composition in a moment, but while the subcommittee actively seeks and values input from diverse stakeholders, all final decisions and actions rest solely within the authority of the subcommittee and the school committee at large.
I just added that just because you had it above, but
makes sense.
I assume that if you're going to do some sort of vote for something, you would bring it to the full committee?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It's basically in like the next, maybe it jumps the gun, but like committee composition, I thought it might be helpful to include people outside, like the 3 school committee members and like the Franklin Public School staff as well. To maybe town council, historical commission, and like stakeholders at large. And I basically, as much input and value as everybody else will bring in, I wanted to make sure that if there's a recommendation that's going to be made about, you know, a bust that we're going to make for Horace Mann, or if we're going to spend money on banners, that the 3 school committee members are going to be the ones responsible for voting it out of committee. So that way it's not like it's non-school committee individuals kind of going and voting on something that the Franklin School Committee
the committee members would have the votes, the non-school committee members would be advisory but not voting?
I think so.
Which is the way it sounded like.
Yes, no, that's kind of the overall...
I'm just trying to be clear about
idea that it would be, you know, I mean, I'm in a meeting with a whole bunch of people around the table. I want to hear from everybody and take it as much input as possible. But it was more, I didn't want to get this subcommittee into a situation where, say if there's four people, it's a total of seven, that it's three school committee members kind of voting no on something, four non-school committee members voting yes on something, and then gets voted out of committee because it's a 4-3 vote.
Just to the extent that you already have the school committee with the final vote, otherwise you would be, quote, disengaging the non-school folks.
Yep.
And their voice, even if it was 4-3 in the scenario, it goes to the school committee. The school committee knows the school committee members did not vote for it. They would still have to look at it on its face, and they may, in fact, not go for it. They may.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
Yep.
I wouldn't want to. I'm concerned that, given the wins, if you will, and lack of listening, I would not want to preclude the vote for those who certainly want to be engaged, and you're engaging them.
Yeah. Okay.
But then hamstringing too.
So ultimately, I think Lucas might already be doing this.
Tweaking what, getting some thoughts down, but go ahead, keep on.
Yeah, so the idea, so then we'll have, whatever the committee composition is, everybody would be full voting members, but any final decisions would still rest solely within the authority of the Franklin School Committee.
That's what Steve's proposing.
Yeah.
So I guess now you should talk to them and then decide what you want to do.
Yeah, well, I was trying to clarify what was said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm doing process stuff. I'm not weighing in on this.
So, like, what's the thought there for, like, Ruthann and KP? Because I do hear that of if people are going to go and dedicate their time and sit in these meetings and give all this feedback, if we then say thanks but no thanks, you don't get to actually vote on the final thing. I could see, you know.
That's fair. I think that's fair. It's definitely much more interesting to be a decision maker involved and feel like you have a voice. As long as the school committee, and the school committee is sort of like an extension of things that are recommended by our, you know, those running the district too. I like Lucas and his leadership team to have a voice. So I do think ultimately the school committee has to decide. But I think Steve's point is fair. And maybe we just have to be intentional about how many members we add to this group. So it's not, you know, that the three are easily outvoted on decisions. Maybe it's like, you know, we end up with a committee of seven or something, like a school committee would look.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, because I would hate if we have 12 members, it's pretty easy to bring recommendations that the school committee members who are, you know, chairing and sort of running the committee are not really getting a voice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so to not dilute the three school committee members.
Yeah.
KP?
Yeah. Did we miss anything?
Yeah, no, so I think right now the idea would be any committee members would be full-fledged, like, voting members, but that, obviously, anything still has to go to the full school committee, just as it would with budget, with policy, with any other subcommittees.
Yeah. So okay. Sure, I think that's a big idea, yeah.
Trying to capture what...
Mm-hmm.
So it's... While the subcommittee actively seeks and values input from diverse stakeholders, are you looking at like all recommendations? Is it proposed recommendations?
Any recommendations?
Okay.
Must be voted on by the full school committee before becoming.
I think it's a very good idea to vote by full school committee.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actively. Any recommendations proposed by the subcommittee, and you could have consensus on that, too.
Yeah.
You might not have to do formal votes if you have everyone at the table with a consensus support for an idea, so that you don't, you could vote, too, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's proposed by the subcommittee I like this idea of the school committee has final authority, right? The final decision.
Yeah.
All final decisions rest solely within the authority of the Franklin School. That's like our policy.
Yeah.
Right.
So then it's this sentence. Any recommendations proposed by the subcommittee
on the light side.
Yeah, good.
And then so the last one, but maybe I should start with this one, as we had a lot of conversations about it, is about the committee composition. And so, obviously, we got, like, the three members of the Franklin School Committee that will kind of be determined by the chair. The district staff representatives. Historical Commission, I think, definitely should be a part of this and really wants to be a part of this. Town Council, at least as of, like, this current term, in that letter, they had, you know, stated that they'd be more than happy to kind of collaborate in some fashion. I'm sure that, you know, the nine members next term, some will likely do that. But then also for community members at large, Ruthanne kind of jotted down maybe like a member of the 250th committee. Maybe they could kind of be an at-large member, or maybe we have a special reserves kind of seat for them to see what they're looking to do, and also for students as well.
Okay.
And I kind of had, I guess, three questions. Maybe first, with these, should they be open seats or appointments? So for like the Historical Commission, is it something that we just kind of say, hey, you guys always have one seat at the table, and let their members and their kind of the council or the committee determine who is going to have that seat at that day? Or is it more akin to like the 250th committee, where they'll kind of reach out to us and say, we want to be able to put this person have a seat at the table,
like,
and then we kind of make our decision, and we say, all right, we're picking this person, that person.
I think it's good for them to nominate somebody who they know wants to be here, kind of thing.
I think all of the Historical Commission people are there in a 250th committee as well.
Yeah, I mean, the town council will probably want to tell us who they want here, you know. I think that gives them,
you could have
probably easier.
You could have this kind of going two ways. If it's a representative from an elected body, they could choose their delegate.
Yep.
If it's a community member at large, what we did when we did the redistricting was we had people fill out a form and express their interest, and it was just name, affiliation to the schools. I'm a parent and I'm a neighbor. I'm a this, I'm a that. I'm in the gardening club, whatever it is. And then we just had one question. What are you most interested in this work? It wasn't a resume thing. It wasn't your qualifications. It was about, like, why are you, what brings you to this? Why are you interested to join? You know, how will you augment the group or whatever it was?
Right.
How will you support the work?
Mm-hmm.
And then someone can jump in there and feel like, I can write, I'm interested in Horace Mann, it's been, or I grew up here, whatever. They can say it. And then you could look across the board and say, you know, we had to pick so many people. You have a clear number of seats. You probably want to define the number of seats.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, so you already have it. I see the X. And then it could be that you just look at it and say, we were looking when we select. You could look at, maybe there's someone from multiple vantage points. And you might say, we picked these two people, and we had multiple people that were alumni, but we wanted to make sure that we had an alumni plus somebody else. Like, you could dive, you could select just based on their affiliation or their, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So then, so with
that's
that, it's like the Historical Commission and the Town Council would just be, say, like, you know, they would have an open seat.
Yep.
So their body would do that.
They would recommend somebody to join.
To join us.
Okay.
And then with the community members at large, it would be appointment. So then we would solicit that out to the community and say, if you're interested, fill out this quick Google, you know, survey. And then the subcommittee will kind of go and pick their people.
Yeah, and the chair can appoint. Just like we have the SWAC and we have mental health, the chair of the town council could say, hey, everybody, anyone interested to be on this, please submit your name to me. Let the chair could say, this is going to be the person who's going to be with you. I heard back from X person.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
It's not like they have to vote on, it's not like a formal vote is needed.
Yeah.
It could be they're interested in the subcommittee.
Like, so here we go.
Not, you know what I mean? It's not their subcommittee. It's just the thought.
Dave, do we want to open it up to, just because of the nature of the work, a member from either the design or planning board to be a liaison, and then something else I was thinking of.
Because there's also like the Franklin Cultural Council too.
They can call somebody from that cultural space, from points, certainly from the arts and design perspectives. It's nice to have, but not necessarily required. But then also nice to have, not necessarily required in terms of any grant opportunities. Yeah. They would be closer to
that. Oh, that's what I was thinking, the FinCom. Like maybe someone from FinCom would be useful if they want to be.
I don't know that they would have the grants, but the Cultural Council would
be. Yeah, because
That's true.
I would say Cultural Council, and then you could consider ad hoc, just like the principals of those schools are going to be invited as needed. You could also have ad hoc, could be GIS or planning or core. Like, hey, next meeting, we're going to talk about some stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe
subject specific.
Yeah, like the wayfinding and the signage is is something that's happening. Let's invite the person who's kind of overseeing that project for the town to a meeting.
Yeah, right.
And then they come, then they're not tied to coming every meeting.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they don't have that dedicated seat, but it's the same thing when we did the reorg. We had Mike and we had Kevin kind of come on
and
down.
Yeah, they're not consensus maybe necessarily.
But it was just as,
But that's what I would do.
The Cultural Council, though, like a member, if they're interested, a member from their board.
Mm-hmm.
And we could do the same with with the principals, or if they want to, would the principals be interested in kind of like designating certain students that kind of come on board?
I think you'd have some interest from the middle, and not maybe ECDC, but like the middle and high.
Yep.
I could see, we have a Project 351 ambassador. Mm-hmm. It's a student in eighth grade who gets selected every year.
Right.
That might be a good natural thing. That person's already been selected by the middle school to represent the middle school, and we're always looking for ways to engage them, and there's not as many opportunities that might be a natural way to say to Craig Williams, can you please give me the name of the Project 51? Then that person, that kid this year can do this as part of their project. They can report out to the Project 351 people that they're involved in this in some way, and if it comes and brings back to improving education in Franklin, that's like their mission.
Yeah.
It just seems like that'd be a great thing to do. And then at the high school, you have former Project 351s who still stay with it, or Maria might say, I have a group of kids or a couple of kids that might be a good fit for this or something. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
There may be a group.
Some clubs.
Have an affiliation.
Yeah. This would add value to the resume as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree. So, clubs are some honor seats for Franklin Cultural, appointed by Cultural Commission, right? Historical Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Cultural Council, Historical Commission.
Yep, Historical Commission,
the Cultural
Council from Town Council, and then I would say appointed by the chair based on council member interest. Does that work?
And with that one, so for the Town Council, that'll be by the Town Council chair.
Yes.
By
the TC chair. Open seat for community member at large, right? And that would be selected by the school
that
committee,
would be by
subcommittee?
The, subcommittee.
All right, so that's your function then. The three of you would agree on whoever's going to be the open, whoever's in there.
Correct. Yep.
Or whatever volunteer group.
Yep. I've already told Aaron Gallagher not to go far. So,
just to be clear. And then open seat, consider project. And it's called Project 351 because there's 351 communities across Massachusetts, and every single one picks one kid in eighth grade. So that's why we have a Franklin rep involved at the state level. Then high school, FHS leadership, student leadership.
So then, kind of have right now, just looking at it. So it would like for, especially if we kind of talk about like those voting members. So like 3 members from the schools, one for historical commission, one for cultural council, one for town council, like up to 4. If we wanted to up to four for community members at large, and then one middle, one high. If we did that, it would bring us to 12.
I think that's big enough.
Yeah, I wouldn't expand it any further. I know Ruth, you kind of explicitly said you didn't want to have 12. But
that,
I also
that's
know.
Not, yeah. Oh, okay. That's just me talking off the cuff.
Oh, okay. All right.
Processing
all right,
out loud. Yeah.
Because I also know that. I mean, we've gone through this process before. Not everybody's able to make every meeting and do everything, sure, and so it could. But it would mean, yeah, there'll be like 12, up to 12 votes to be made.
Do you want, you have 3 school committee members, mm-hmm, right? These are going to be ad hoc. Do you want to have 3 open seats for community? I'm just thinking out loud, like 3,
to match.
4. Yeah.
Yeah,
just a thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that matters. It's not like, that's up to you. You don't have to even decide now. This is really, I'm just playing out.
Yeah. I think the parallel, as I see it, we've got 12, Master Plan Committee had 13, and yet the Master Plan, while it had Planning Board, Conservation, Rural representation across the various, as well as, I think it was 5, if you will, residents, everything that they did still had to go before Planning Board and Town Council for approval, and you've got similar structure in terms of whatever it is still goes before School Committee for final approval. So there's parallel there.
That's true.
12 to 13, it should work, and then you also enable kind of subcommittees as things break off.
That's
you
true.
Can have a couple go this way, a couple go that way, and still pull in the other kind of ad hoc pieces just for that particular topic rather than coming all the time because you only in for the once or twice or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
That should work.
Okay.
That's a really good point about breaking off into subcommittees because I know the master planning definitely had to do that.
Already got your 3 bullets, right?
Right.
Campus, education, advocacy. That may be 3 subcommittees.
Yep.
Do, yeah. I mean, each school committee member, yeah, 10 is
tasked
with 1, and then with 3 other members to kind of go alongside. And then this one more procedurally, and I know I want to wrap up, so it's late for everybody, but these subcommittees, if we kind of expand out with all these other members, can they still run as long as it's just 2 school committee members?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's
yeah,
not
you
like
won't have to, if you do this, if you break up and the 3 of you took on a different group,
mm-hmm,
you could just meet with people in small group work.
Yeah.
But whenever you come back to the full group, you post it and have it, and then that's when your updates come and it's the full group or a group of.
And it's not like, you know, because it's 12 people that we would need to have 6, you know, to run the subcommittee, it's still going to be a school committee meeting, and that's the only thing that we have to worry about being published, right? So basically, by expanding this, we're not increasing our quorum of this subcommittee, right?
No.
Perfect.
No, you're not.
No, that's right.
You have 3 members.
Yeah, it's still all focused on the school committee, because it's still a school committee meeting.
It's a school,
right?
It's a subcommittee of
the
school committee.
That have
you
to worry about the open meeting. And all
yeah, you
things,
would,
right?
I mean, you would post the agenda, because it's 3, even though that's not a majority. We have typically posted when there's been 3.
It's yeah, still an open meeting.
Yeah.
There's not an issue there. But by definition, you've only got the 3, so you're not at quorum for the meeting.
Yeah.
And then you'd be at 1 for the subcommittees, mm-hmm, or individual committees, to phrase it that way. So you're clearly not at quorum there.
No. And you don't even have to post those. It's like,
yeah,
when we did the updates to Paul and Aaron,
mm-hmm,
typically one of them, it was like a meeting. We
yeah,
treated it like a meeting. Hey.
Right.
I'm updating you on some. We had presentations that we would do at school committee. We would preview them with just Paul,
mm-hmm,
or just Paul and Aaron, and then we give feedback and say, "I'd like you to really expand on this when you present tomorrow night,
yeah,
or whatever."
Right.
And then that actually enhanced some of the information we were able to provide. So, just I think you're covered.
Perfect.
Yeah, and covered completely. I agree. The drawback that I see from a community information perspective, learning from that process, is there are some things that only come out at the business meetings, the full meeting.
Yeah.
Or, in this case, they certainly should come before the subcommittee before going to the
right,
full meeting.
Yes. Right.
So you still have that information flow, and thereby you shouldn't have surprises.
Yeah, perfect.
Which is, you know, people don't like surprises.
like this level of meeting should be for the 12 people.
Yeah.
And then if any breakouts happen in between the next meeting, that's okay, as long as there's a roundup. Mm-hmm. And brings people along, right?
Yeah.
And then goes to
speak. Yeah, that would be the agenda setting. So the next meeting of the group, each subcommittee who met prior needs to report back so that there's a clear.
Yes.
At least of the city. You don't have to go into the .mei across every T, but the gist of the meeting is to update. Brought back.
Okay. That's perfect. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you all. Mm-hmm. Any other kind of questions, comments from anybody else?
About logo, logos. Did we talk about logos?
Yeah, we kind of like bashed it in with just the overall Horace Mann campus. But maybe I should. I know Ruth Ann mentioned like the physical presence. Maybe I should kind of expand that. Because I think that should be something that we're working in collaboration with the district and the town as well.
Yep. So iconography. So maybe the guardrail is something around the iconography should be consistent with town and school.
Existing branding.
Yeah.
Which should be new branding.
Right. It should be complementary, or it should be synergistic, or I don't know what you want to say, but
phrase it that it's
open. I suspect the planning board has. Design board probably has some policy around that, I would think. Like how the library matches the town hall, which matches the schools. You know, like. But I don't want to be creating goals.
No, but definitely, I can I'll workshop that too, but add it in with the guardrails. That really, that when we design logos, that we shouldn't be doing, this whole process shouldn't be doing it in a vacuum, that we should be kind of working with all those other departments.
That's the idea. Whatever you need to say about that, to KP's point.
Yeah, and I think maybe the one last one too with the guardrail is, at least the way I'm seeing this should really be the heavy lift from like the school committee and the other members of the other voting members. I'm not looking to add on any more work to your pleas.
Thank you.
And
thank
so,
you.
You know, I don't know how the committee, you know, how you guys feel about that.
I mean, this is exciting work. This is the fun stuff. But
absolutely.
I agree with you. My only ask is that, and maybe this is my hesitation always, and I think it always is like you always forward worry. It's always 85% worse in your mind than what anything ever ends up being. But I would want it to be like, as long as like, I hope that the ideas that come out of this are manageable, feasible, affordable, and don't detract from the current school, you know, branding that's underway, you know, as we land with like our new school, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is a big concern of me too, Lucas. I want it, that's why I keep bringing this, like, students up, like this really should be about inspiring our students and about the education. It's like, I hear what you're saying, like, it can get exciting and bigger. And I think that we're a realistic school committee. I think anyone who's on this committee is going to be, like, you know, guardrails all over the place. Mm-hmm. Because we can't be, you know, like, if I hear about those visitors' bleachers one more time, like, from people outside of like, the community, it's, we know the money has to go to educators. Like, we know that, like, you know, the kids are the bottom line, so, yeah.
I think everything looks good. And the last one, but not least though, but I know it's too early to talk about that. When we open this, the whole structure, I mean, the whole scenario, like we should invite the governor of state or something like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're right, and KP, around that. Yeah.
And these are the ones later. That they love to do too. Oh yeah, you're right. But yeah, as soon as we start having this, you know, it kind of becomes more of a reality to reach out to them, because I know scheduling can be an absolute nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Not for nothing either. Jeff Royce, he's a historian in many regards.
Yeah.
Like, be curious. Like, he might have, this might be, there might be a little passion around supporting this type of thing, just based on what my conversations with him. I'd be curious to see, you know.
Yeah, and the other day, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we weren't invited to Michelle Wu, Austin Mayor. 3 months waiting period for her, so we got to plan ahead.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we'll start early. Maybe we'll put a date on the calendar and then just march towards that. All right, this is fantastic. Thank you all guys so much. I know, I mean, we got pretty much kind of fitted in right at the very last minute, but I appreciate that that we can do that. Before I entertain a motion to adjourn, any other kind of questions, comments? I'll tweet this out, kind of send it out to you guys, and then also to whomever is going to be on the committee next term as well. So,
this is great.
Wonderful. Then, time being 7:10, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I second that.
Excellent. All those in favor, O'Sullivan?
Yes.
Sampali?
Yes.
Callahan, yes. All right. Thank you all very much. Have a great night.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.